is Tansley Stearns?
Tansley Stearns is your greatest challenger and biggest cheerleader.
Inspirational human being who loves people.
Future forward leadership.
Tansley Stearns is a badass.
Tansley Stearns is my mom, my hero, and I love her very much.
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Jeff Chambers, an adventurer, a father of three teenagers, and a human eager to change the world. He's also the founder and CEO of Lumen Digital, a digital banking platform designing the future of how humans interact with their credit unions. This is Jeff's story. Who is Jeff Chambers?
All right. So Tansley, thanks first and foremost for inviting me onto the show here.
Nice.
So who's Jeff Chambers? So I'm going to tell you a little story and it'll give you a little bit of perspective. About 20 years ago, I took my wife, and this was before we were married, on a backpacking trip. And we did Yosemite in, it was probably like early May. And so the weather was beautiful. We lived in LA at the time, so it was blistering hot, and did not expect inclement weather. And so this was a two or three night backpacking trip. And we ended up getting stuck in a snowstorm, and we had some of the gear we needed, but not all. And so my wife, she had never been backpacking before. And this is my first time taking her out there. And again, we're not married. Okay. So we're backpacking. And then pretty soon you get up to the higher elevations and the creeks are frozen over, covered in 10 feet of snow. The trails are gone. It's snowing. It's foggy.
Oh, Jeff.
And, you know, I'm like, you know what? Don't worry. I've got this, right? And this is out in the middle of nowhere. This is before the age of GPS and phones and satellite radios. And so we're kind of lost, kind of. And I said, you know, don't worry. I've got this. And, you know, I've got my compass and my map. And we kind of navigate our way through 3 days of pretty inclement conditions. And this, where we backpacked is not a place you could easily get out of. You can't just go to your car. It's a day and a half to get to your car. So this is up in Yosemite. So if you're familiar with Yosemite, this is a clouds rest kind of area. So we're up at altitudes of 10,000 feet, snowstorm. And my wife, she watched kind of as I kind of fumbled around. My snowshoe broke. We actually took snowshoes, but the snowshoe broke. We had a lot of gear failures. And when we came out of it, so we actually made it out alive. We got back to, I remember we came back down into the Yosemite Valley and, you know, I ended up getting sick for a week or two. I got a cold or flu or something. My wife never missed a beat. Okay. So, all along this, you know, throughout this entire crazy journey, where I took us out into a situation that was just an incredible adventure. I had by my side this woman who was strong and trusting. So, she likes to remind me that on that trip, a few times I dropped her compass in the snow and she picked it up. So she was always there, you know, making sure that we were doing the right thing. But, you know, it's funny, my memory. So the reason I share this is that, you know, it kind of gives you a little perspective of who I am. This is 20 years ago, right? And I love adventures and I'm okay sometimes not being fully prepared. And I love taking people. I love going on adventures with people, right? Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, I think sometimes the best things are tough.
Finish this sentence for me. The world will be a better place when?
So this one was, this is an easy one for me because I have three teenagers and if there's one thing about teenagers, they love social media.
Yes.
And they love their iPhones. And probably the phrase I say most in my house is, kids, put your phone down. Like, be present, right? Pay attention. No phones at the dinner table. And I would say the world would be, at least the world that I live in, And I'm going to guess this is probably true for most Americans. I think the world would be a better place if we just put our phones down more.
When your happiest, most joyful moments you're listening to?
I love the outdoors, and I live in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. We have all kinds of trees. And when I'm in a place here in the Bay Area that has ponderosa pines or redwoods, or I can hear the wind blowing through the needles. And I actually have learned over the years the different sounds of the trees, and I can tell what kind of tree it is based on the sound of the wind going through the needles. I live in a place where I can go for walks and rides, and I can get out in environments, and I can hear that. And it's literally like rebooting my brain when I hear that.
Do you have an album that you'll listen to from the first song to the last?
Sure. It's my favorite and my go-to. It's, probably a little cliched, but U2, Joshua Tree, without a doubt.
Yes.
Even my kids, my three Gen Zers, love that album.
When was the time you laughed out loud recently?
So this is kind of an interesting, I'm in a weird place in my life. I've got a company that feels more mature than my three kids. I got a lot of recent stories for you. So whole podcast, I'm going to give you stories. Yeah. So this week, we have a rule in the house with our two drivers. We have a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old driver. My 17-year-old son, the rule is if you break curfew, you lose your car the next day.
Yeah.
So he was all snarky about losing the car the next day. And he's like, Dad, you know what? I'm going to buy a car. I'm buying my own car. You don't have to. And he's a senior. He's a senior in high school. He'll be 18 in a few weeks. He's like, I'm going to buy my own car. And I literally busted out laughing because, like, you read, you go on and you read about how most Americans are being displaced from car market, because an average new car is like $50,000 now, 48 or 50 grand. So used car prices are just exploding.
When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
So I'm going to give you another short story because this one is kind of funny. We kind of live through our kids, and I'm in the thick of it right now. And this same son, my 17-year-old, last Friday, I think his girlfriend put him up to the senior talent show. His girlfriend, he did a skit, Hercules and Meg skit with his girlfriend. And it involves some dancing to contemporary music.
Oh, okay.
And so I felt like, okay, I you live through your kids. I almost felt like I was dancing on the stage with him, right? Like I'm not in his shoes. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is he's got my dancing genes. He does not have his mother's dancing genes. And I was getting kind of, a little warm, watching him dance. It wasn't great, but he was up there having fun.
I love it.
Careless, carefree. But he definitely has my dancing genes. So I was getting a little flush in the face, and thinking, okay, how long is this going to go on? That's the last time I felt like I danced. It's in the last week, a week ago.
We all have moments of living vicariously through others. The high school senior talent show is an unlikely place to learn things you didn't know about your family. Jeff shares a story of his son, a reluctant talent show participant, convinced by his girlfriend to engage, who owned the moment. Whether you have kids or not, sparks and inspiration exploding through another person's experience can build something we all crave and need, more human connection. Connect with a loved one today and ask a few more questions. When you feel down, you heal by?
So I'm a huge mountain biker. I've been mountain biking for 23 years. And If I'm lucky, I get out a couple times a week, and I've maintained that for a long time. And I always have a saying that no matter how hard my day is, no matter how much disappointment I encounter, all is forgiven, forgotten after 90 minutes on the mountain bike. Find some ponderosa pines, kind of hit that reset. I'm out there, just in nature, and we have amazing spaces in the Bay Area. It is a little rugged. You're either you know, killing yourself to get up a mountain, or you're just hanging on for dear life coming down. But yeah, 90 minutes of that once or twice a week can really, really just kind of ground you and get you refocused on the essentials.
Who's someone you look up to?
So this is an interesting one. This is certainly there's a lot of people I look at that have guided my leadership and my philosophy on life. Patty McCord is somebody I have a lot of respect for. She's a previous chief people officer of Netflix. They just did incredible things with culture. Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, you know, they're people I follow a lot. I listen, read a lot about. I always think that Steve Jobs, he more than anybody, he probably changed our world for the better and the worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's pretty incredible because, you know, like the name of your podcast, Despite Impossible, he really did go out and do a lot of very impossible things, and he got people to do very impossible things.
What's a mantra you live by?
So I have a bunch, and they do change from year to year. I would say my first kind of golden rule is to treat people well. So you can have the big, you can have big dreams. You can want to be bold. You can want to go fast. You can have aspirations to want to take risk, but Tansley, you have to treat people well. You can't bulldoze through people. And so that mantra is kind of my guardrails. If I want to go do something, then the ground rules are I have to treat people well. That's my wife and kids and friends and my employees and my customers and my investors. You got to stick to that. Now, my second kind of what really drives me, because I'm a high energy person, it's really a kind of like this thought of going and just putting positive energy out into the world.
Mm.
And again, Tansley, I would say like you embody this. Okay. I see this in your podcast. I see this in your LinkedIn posts. I see it, you know, when you and I talk on the phone. You're just this infinite source of energy, and it's, you know, it makes the world a better place.
Tell us about your impossible.
So I have two. I've got this incredible responsibility to raise three kids. So you got to send three kids out into the world, and these kids are they couldn't be more different from each other. They're just all over the map on personalities. So that's a big one. But I would say the other one I deal with that I really tackle daily is just it's growing Lumen in a manner that is graceful. I talk a lot about this, like mindful growth, graceful growth. We want to act with grace. We want to make decisions that are graceful. And we're going through a lot of changes. The companies, there's a lot of demand for what we do. We could pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, you know, great job, right? Customers are happy. Employees are happy. But then you look to a company like Netflix. And Netflix quickly became the dominant player in DVD rentals.
Yep.
And then what did they do? Did they roll out DVD rentals to like more of the market? Did they try to expand the market? No, they said, we have to do streaming. Now, what the heck did they know about streaming? They didn't know anything. I don't think they didn't know anything about streaming content. Nobody was streaming content. There weren't even set-top boxes. There's no way to even connect a streaming device to TVs back then. It was really, really antiquated. So they pioneered and dominated the streaming. Then they said, okay, now we got to go make our own content. We got to produce our own content. And they became a leader in producing content. If you look at a lot of the top TV shows and series, they're Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a company where you had a couple engineers that put DVDs in envelopes. And today Americans are consuming a lot of the content from the people, the writers and the producers and directors that work with Netflix. That's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And my impossible is navigating Lumen through that kind of transformation. We have to, Lumen has to reinvent who we are to the market so we can help our customers reinvent themselves for a changing market. And those are hard things to do because people don't like change.
No.
They don't like change. And they, you know, when they don't like change the most is when you're successful.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Mindful and graceful growth. Jeff reminds us of the imperative to not fall into the tempting laurels of success and continuously reinvent our organizations in an ever-evolving world. Staying humble and hungry has allowed nimble organizations to become better versions of themselves. These attributes can easily transcend the business realm into a mantra many can learn from. How are you investing in your mindful and graceful growth today? Tell us about the challenges you've faced that have seemed insurmountable.
Yeah. So again, high energy person, love the outdoors. I'm not quite sure if it was genetics or what I put my body through, but I ended up having some back issues about 7 years ago, 2015. And had a couple of spills on a mountain bike and skiing and ruptured vertebrae. Had to get surgery, just brutal. And I remember my surgeon, he said, Jeff, we're going to have you back on your feet. You're going to be back skiing and mountain biking in 30 days. Well, you know, here I am like 7 years later, and I have had to commit myself to this routine that takes about 4 to 5 hours a week to keep my back healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to the surgeon and say, can you fix this? So I've just, between a combination of exercises and walking, by the way, walking is amazing for anybody. I highly recommend everybody walk. But just having to be very attentive and knowing my limits, that's something that, like, when I was like deep in that experience early on, it was tough. You don't have mobility, and it's just, you're in this dark place.
Was there a point during your journey where you felt like giving up?
So I would say I've got a more pragmatic view of giving up. You know, Confucius, he has this quote I love, that we have two lives, and the second begins when we realize we only have one. So to me, I live by that daily. I make sure that what I'm spending my scarce time on this earth doing, I make sure I love doing it. Hmm. And if a lot of people, you know, let's say I'm doing something and I don't love it, I have to really kind of look in the mirror and figure out, like, should I be doing this? And if I don't love it, then I pivot away from it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people sometimes will say, well, people are dependent on me. A lot's riding on me. I have to continue to do this. And what I say is, you know, just be humble. And recognize that if you're worried about a pivot letting people down, kind of be humble and recognize that there's a lot of other people that'll fill your shoes and love doing it. So I'm a proponent of pivoting when it gets you closer to doing things in life that you love. And I would encourage your listeners to trust their judgment and live the life they want to live. Yeah. That's my philosophy on that.
I love it. Would you share a story about a time where something went bananas that you can look back on now and laugh?
Yes, this is hilarious. So about 10 years ago, I was talked into setting up a Cub Scout pack at my kids' elementary school. And this elementary school had like 1,500 kids. I mean, we are like, I always told my wife, I feel like we live on, we're our house is like on campus living, like at a college. It's just every house had kids. The schools were, it was like everything was connected to the schools. So the elementary school has 1,500 kids. Somebody talked me into setting up a Cub Scout pack. I don't know anything about Boy Scouts. I wasn't a Boy Scout. So I agreed and we set it up, and we had like 120 boys enroll, or parents enrolled their boys. And these were K through fifth grade. So we have our first pack meeting, and a pack meeting is where you get the whole pack together, all the kids, their parents always have to be with them. Parents come in pairs, and parents usually bring siblings. So we get in this multi-purpose room at the elementary school, which is huge. and I had a PA system. And my first pack meeting, I'm like, and I'm pretty organized, so I had a really structured agenda, but it was chaos. There was like 600 people in there. And I had the 600 people, including 120 elementary age kids, they were sitting on the floor, rolling around, just. And so I learned that was bananas. That was nuts. I mean, it was just nuts. Now, you know, the highlight of it is my wife makes fun of me because like I'd be at Home Depot or Target or something, and a kid would see me and want to take a picture with me. So just goofy, you know, and I did that for 7 years somehow.
Wow.
And my boys went through the program, and it was a good way for me to really, I think, model for my kids how you give back to your community. But I would say running those PAC meetings for me was more stressful than any board meeting or investor pitch that I've ever done in my life. I mean, it was just because there was just too many variables. It's just it. We'd be in there. One time we were in there and like the lights went out, and it's like 7 o'clock at night. And yeah, it's just crazy. So
it's great.
Fun stuff. I have good memories of that.
Achieving your impossible is one thing, but there are no fairy tales with happy endings. We reach milestones. We keep going. What challenges is your impossible still facing?
So I'm going to pivot back to I had two kind of impossibles. One was my kids and one was the business. And I would say with the teenagers, they're very different. And raising kids requires you to take a very personalized approach to each of the children. And I would say that having teenagers is like a master class in managing disappointment, learning to cope with disappointment. You are going to get a daily test on coping with disappointment.
It's true.
And, very true. You know, these kids, they're going to disappoint you because they want to let you know that they're individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So what my wife and I have recently been figuring out is that to really enjoy your children more and enjoy life more, don't have expectations. Just get rid of the expectations. Focus on the experience. And if you don't have expectations, then you're not disappointed.
Yeah.
And you can really put yourself into the relationships and the kids, and you can understand how they're thinking, or, you know, quite frankly, not thinking. But that is a daily impossible that you know, that we tackle, and it's one that it's like when you have kids in diapers, you can't wait to get them out of diapers. Well, you know, we think sometimes, gosh, we can't wait till the kids are all off in college, but then when we get there, we're gonna look back fondly on these daily battles.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use that fire in their bellies to bring their impossible to life?
Yeah. So earlier I mentioned Charlie Munger is somebody. Yeah. I mean, this guy is like, I don't think I would love to have his mental acuity when I'm like in my 90s. He's pretty amazing. But he's got a quote that I love. It's mimicking the herd invites regression to the mean.
I love that.
So I think a lot of times what happens is we are fearful to step out of the herd.
Yeah.
For good reason, because that's how we're genetically wired, right? Survival prior to 100, 200 years ago, survival required that we stay close to the herd and we mimic the herd. But now we live in a system of society, democracy, capitalism, where you to really fulfill your full potential, you have to step away from the herd. And to do that, oftentimes, and I tell my kids this, and again, this is dangerous advice for teenagers, but I tell the kids, don't mimic like the herd. You got to break the rules. Okay, you got to break the rules. Now, don't break the laws. And I'm going to go back to my motto, treat people well.
Yeah.
So if you treat people well and you don't break the laws, but if you break the rules, if you put yourself out there and try to be different, then that's how you overcome your fears. It's just kind of recognizing that pattern. if you want to do something amazing, you have to make amazing decisions.
Yeah. What's your next impossible, my friend?
So this one, this is a big one for me. I would say I've got this pretty big idea, kind of a vision for, I think, where the industry's headed. So, you know, as you know, I'm in banking software. And I see a vision when I look into the 2030s and beyond.
Yeah.
I see the way the credit unions and community and regional financial institutions function. I can kind of imagine how these enterprise platforms are going to be. And it's going to look a lot different than it looks today. It's going to have to, right? What we have today in our industry is a collection of technical capabilities and technologies that are from the 80s and 90s. It's old stuff.
It's woeful.
Oh, it's incredible that it still works. And this vision that I have is just, it's so big and so thorny that it's kind of like an ugly baby. And, and you know, people just, they just don't like ugly babies. Right. And it's going to take a lot of care and feeding to kind of get it there. I've got a kind of a bold idea, and you got to be careful when you have bold ideas, because you got to balance, like I said, with Netflix, you got to balance sustaining the company, taking care of your folks, your people, taking care of your customers, but reinventing yourself. So with this idea, I'm going to have to step outside my comfort zone and be a little more vulnerable, you know, cast away some of the things that brought success. And I think to a degree, trust fate a little bit on this.
So that's great. Oh, I can't wait. Super excited.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.